This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Vermont's role in the Underground Railroad has long been a point of pride. The traditional narrative is that many houses and families in our state secretly harbored a steady stream of fugitive people as they fled to freedom in Canada in the years leading up to the Civil War. The problem is, a lot of that story is not accurate. Historical work in the past decades, including a big state-sponsored survey in 1996, have shed doubt on nearly every aspect of that narrative. And in response, many Vermonters have been less than happy about the apparent dismantling of a story fundamental to their sense of the state's identity. The debates around this history are part of what led Beth Cannell to write a new historical novel set in 1850s Northeast Kingdom. It's called The Long Shadow. Beth Cannell, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thanks, Jane. Good to be here.
Can you sketch out the themes in The Long Shadow and the characters?
Well, 1850 is 10, 11 years before the Civil War will erupt. And we have a concept of Vermont as being anti-slavery from the get-go. I mean, Vermont's constitution said no adult slavery in the state. But there was a lot of disagreement over what that would mean, especially because many Vermonters were as sensitive then as they are now to property rights. Think of those people who invested in their property. That's one reason, by the way, that the terminology is now changing from slave owners to enslavers. We're starting to realize that the whole concept of ownership of humans was really out of whack. So Vermonters were really struggling with, what do they do about this? As The Long Shadow opens up, we have a family where just about everyone has a different belief on what to do. Free the slaves because holding a slave is sinful, or pay the Southerners somehow to let them go. And one of the characters is actually thinking that what you should do in a sort of Vermont style is those poor people from Africa, they must want to go home. If you can find a free slave, you should pay for passage on a ship to Africa.
Yeah, so you have all these characters with their different ideas, some of which, you know, certainly seem a little anachronistic now, but you're looking at these differing ideas back then of what to do. But you also really are taking on this idea of what the Underground Railroad was in Vermont and what it wasn't. Why did the history of Vermont and the accuracy of this history inspire you to be telling this story in a fictionalized way for young adult readers?
Part of this, Jane, comes from my own family. I grew up with a New England mother who was really proud of her New England roots and said, you know, our family fought in the Civil War for freedom of the slaves, and we were on the good guys' side. We helped with the Underground Railroad, you know, maybe not so directly, but certainly we helped in Southern Jersey with our connections there. And I bit hook, line, and sinker. I wanted to be one of the good guys, too. And as I dug into this, as I worked on the background for this book, which became sort of necessary to write after I'd written a book set today where teenagers in North Danville, disguised as North Upton in the book, discover a hidden room and the village wants it to be Underground Railroad for the tourism. As I worked on this background, I began to realize that the pride my mother had taken and the way that she had taught me to believe in being a good guy was a little bit misplaced.
Why? When you say misplaced, why do you have to dismantle that pride? You know, what's wrong with having that pride, even if it's not historically accurate?
Oh, well, you know, this is going to sound like a little bit of a reach for a moment, but I've always believed in South Africa's truth and reconciliation process, taking apart what terrible things happened in apartheid and saying that you have to have the truth of it before you can move on to some kind of progress. So here we are in an era where we're looking at Black Lives Matter as a really important slogan. We're looking at racial profiling in policing, even though we don't want it to be there. And every police officer I know is an upstanding person who wouldn't dream of doing something deliberately. And yet the figures say it's there. We're looking at a prison population that proportionally is one of the largest in the world, and in that population, the proportion of people with dark skin is really high. And I think if we're going to correct today's society, we need the truths of yesterday's.
So you see a direct line between this perhaps willful misunderstanding or misrepresentation and the structural and institutionalized racism that still exists today.
I do. I don't think anybody did it on purpose. I think we all mean to be good people. But we do over-romanticize things, and we always have.
So in this book, then, when young people are reading, you know, you're not saying to 30 and 40-year-olds, hey, you're saying to 12 and 13-year-olds and 10-year-olds who this is maybe the first time they're starting to think about these issues. What is it that you want them to get out of it and to grapple with within themselves?
I want them to know that they have choices, that their choices matter just as much as the characters in the book have choices and their choices matter. That even a teenager sees things that are morally dubious and morally wonderful and can make choices around that and act on it, even when it's hard.
Beth, are you a crusader? I mean, we've talked to you before about some of your books and a social justice mission that sort of threads through many of them and questions about race and racism and eugenics and Vermont's history and trying to shine a light in dark places in Vermont's history. How do you think of yourself?
Sure. I think you're right. I'm a crusader. But I think I came to it through family, as so many of us do. My mother was of Quaker roots and New England stock. And my dad was a European Jew who emigrated to the United States after the Second World War. And both of those forms of tradition say we have an obligation to the world to set things right.
Some of the fiction in this book and the fictional families, and you say family is so much of where it starts, some of the families in The Long Shadow are actually inspired by some real-life Vermont families. You care to make the connection that we can know about some of those families?
Sure. Let me start with two of the black families in the story, and they would have been known as Africans or African-Americans at the time. One was Ruth Farrow, a real woman in St. Johnsbury, who had been enslaved in Rhode Island and moved to St. Johnsbury with her family as a founding family of the town. And Ruth used to walk around the town. Edward Fairbanks' book of his family's history and the town calls her either Old Black Ruth or Aunt Ruth. Thanks. And another family was the Miro family in Coventry, where the Groan brothers actually all engaged on the part of the Union and fought in the Civil War. But a white family that comes up, and it's disguised in the book because every family deserves some privacy, is the Fairbanks family, the founders of St. Johnsbury, who were contributing money to be able to send African Americans back to Africa.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and then also with all of these connections to actual Vermont history and to revealing things that perhaps some Vermonters still wish were not true about our history. The book is called The Long Shadow. It's a historical young adult novel set in Vermont, written by Beth Cannell, who lives in Waterford and has written many of these really lovely historical young adult novels. Beth, thank you very much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jane.
Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri and Matthew Smith. Jake Rusnak directed the show, and our managing editor is Sam Gale Rosen. And a special thank you and goodbye today to our intern, Lydia Massey. She produced three of our shows. She did a ton of call screening and podcast and rebroadcast editing. She also brought her grace, talent, and knowledge of Pittsburgh culture to Vermont Edition this semester. Lydia, we will miss you. We are grateful for your time here, and we wish you the best of luck. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.